This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The top of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. You like scoring? So do the Wolves. The Wolves are currently the highest scoring team in the Western Conference. Be there Saturday as the Wolves host Iowa at 7, Sunday at 3 against Manitoba at Allstate Arena. Visit ChicagoWolves.com for tickets. You want to come out and see Hub? You can do it. He's going to be in Aurora most of the afternoon and all the evening at the Piazza, 85 Executive Drive. It's the Score and Bud Light. Hub and Patrick Manley live from 4 p.m. until kickoff. Then it's Hub and Olin Krutz and James Big Cat Williams 2 hours after the game. Meet the guys, watch the game, enjoy Bud Light specials brought to you by Bud Light, game day's favorite light lager. Hello, Hub.
How you doing, guys?
Really good.
We're okay. We're just getting some really good information from the
Arif Hassan.
Arif Hassan of The Athletic, who was telling us all about the way Mike Zimmer has succeeded against young quarterbacks. And he's pretty good at doing what he does. But this is not our day. This is the fans' day.
It's your day.
With you. 312-644-6767. And first up is Frank in Lakeview on the Score.
Hi, guys. You guys had a great show today. Hub, in the way, it's way too early to talk about the draft question. What would be the first two positions you would want to address in the draft this coming year? Not assuming we're not going to do a best player available, which is something I like, but just what two positions would you hope to strengthen in the draft?
Well, Frank, my
go Bears 6-3, man.
It's way too early to talk about the draft, but Hub, your thoughts on the draft?
My personal draft philosophy has always been best player available. That's the way you get to be a better football team. But if in fact you are a contender, if you're an 11, 12, 13 win team and you got something you need to fix, you can do that. And so, you know, just looking at the Bears roster, to me, greatest area of need, it depends on the health of Kyle Long. But I have a tie, offensive tackle and offensive guard. And depending on, you know, where these guys are at, and the best available player. But I guess I the better answer is just offensive line. That is the one area when I look at the young talent that does need an upgrade on this roster.
I love that you say I have a tie when you literally have a tie.
I do. I have a tie on today. My wife's favorite tie, actually.
Why? With the hearts on
it's,
it? Really?
It's a good tie.
From the Jerry Garcia Exploding Heart Collection. So it's it says it right on the back, guys.
It says it right here.
Exploding Heart Collection.
Exploding? Is that how he died?
Exploding Heart Collection 35, Jerry Garcia.
I thought it was like a Terry Bors joke.
35? There were 34 others in that tie collection?
It's funny, Connor, I'm in the car this morning. I happened to notice this little tag. I thought, I got to Google this and see if there's more of these. My wife loves this tie.
You know, so. I thought he died of a massive heart attack. Did he not?
This is what they made. No, I'm kidding. That's not funny. But yes,
yes,
that's what
is.
This tie.
It really is.
Yes. Wow. In Streeter, this is Aman on the Score.
Hey, guys, I want to ask, Hub, are we going to see the real Mitch Trubisky? And because I don't think he's going to throw. He's going to be not very good against this defense. I think he's not going to come out like we see against the weak teams. And I want to ask you if you believe that maybe this is what we are going to see is. Is this going to be 2 or 3 interceptions? I will hang up and thank you.
You know, Ahmad, I don't think it's going to be 2 or 3 interceptions because I think Mitch has done a pretty good job of protecting the ball. I mean, he's thrown, 7 picks in 9 games, and so there's no reason to assume that he's suddenly going to have a meltdown. Yes, this is going to be the best defense he has seen. I think these Bears with this offense are ready to play good defenses. What concerns me about Sunday night is that the only way you can attack this defense not the only way, but the best way is you've got to be able to run the football between the tackles. You pound on them there. They have two quarterback killers on the ends. Sheldon Richardson is an excellent defensive tackle who's really more of a pressure and rush guy than he is a run stopper. They are third against the run this year, but it's kind of a misleading stat. Some of it's the games they've been in. They were not even top 10 as recently as 3 or 4 weeks ago. If you can pound them in the middle, you can slow this defense down. If you can't, then they're going to put tremendous pressure on you, and you got problems. And, you know, as we've been discussing the last few weeks, the one thing missing from the Bears' offense at this point has been that running game between the tackles.
Yeah, I don't have any confidence that they're going to be able to run their inside zone stuff because I just haven't seen it yet. We're not conditioned to think this is something that they have cared enough about doing.
You know, Dan, a lot of people have pointed, or not pointed fingers, but a lot of people have suggested Jordan Howard's been a little different this year. I don't know that I agree with that. You look last week, Tariq Cohn only averaged 2.1 yards a pop on 7 tries. What you can see clearly on the tape is that the offensive line is not moving people off the football when the Bears are in obvious run situations. Haven't been able to do it in third and fourth and short. Haven't been able to do it in the fourth quarter. And so whether it's because it's not a focus of this offense, because they're not practicing it enough, because they're not good enough at it, I don't know. I don't have the answer to that. But they haven't done it for 9 weeks, and so I can't sit here and predict they're suddenly going to do it Sunday.
Here's Mike in Mokena with Hub on the Score.
Hi, Hub. Hub, offensive line question. I am not anti-Roquan Smith. But as I look coming into this year in the draft, the greatest need was to protect your franchise quarterback. Only because, not just because Kyle Long had two injuries, but I believe our two tackles are average at best. I would have went with at number 8, McGlinchey from Notre Dame, and shore up that tackle. Because with the Rams and the Vikings having two of the best defensive lines, I think we're in trouble along the offensive line.
Well, Mike, what would have been fun about that is we could have had McGlinchey protecting Trubisky.
Thank you.
But I got to tell you, I did not.
And the extra point by Cody Parker.
Grabs it out of the air and slams it home.
Is it a Chicago thing? Yes. Or I know the N is, but I've never heard the L before.
Well, the McClaskey family we had from Russ Grimm,
that's
right?
That's true. At any rate, Mike McGlinchey is a kid that I missed on because I wasn't wild about him. I mean, I thought he was a late first-round pick. I would have been very upset if they had taken him at number 8. Might have even thrown a pencil. You know, he is playing really well. And so, you know, maybe I missed. Maybe he is a good offensive lineman.
And their pass protection's been great.
Yeah, he's a good football. Listen, I believe, I'm convinced that if Quentin Nelson had lasted 2 more picks, they would have drafted Quentin Nelson. It's about what you're getting at number 8. The ceiling to me on Roquan Smith is significantly higher than the ceiling on Mike McGlinchey. And so, and by the way, guys, I'm not saying the Bears have a bad offensive line. They obviously, you know, like Charles Leno, you know, they tied him up for 3 or 4 more years. I just think they can upgrade the talent. And so, you know, as far as what they did with Roquan Smith, look at his last couple games. I mean, this kid is looking like exactly what they said he was going to be. That's looking like, you know, it's funny. The first two first rounders, we have nothing but controversy about Kevin White and about Leonard Floyd. Well, now you got people getting on the Trubisky bandwagon, and I think they're going to be on the Smith bandwagon pretty soon, too.
It's just amazing to me that Bears fans are so conditioned to be like, who are going to get the draft? What's wrong with their offense? You're in first place.
Yeah, this is going to be.
Bears are good. Let's act like the Bears are good.
It's going to be so different, guys, and it's not just because they have no picks in the first two rounds. The talent on this roster has been upgraded significantly. Yeah. And while I do believe in best player available, there's certain places, I mean, you're not going to draft a defensive lineman high next year. You just don't need to right now.
You're not going to draft anybody high. You don't have a pick.
Well, yeah. So,
you have Khalil Mack instead.
We'll see what happens. Right? We'll see what you can do in the third round.
Here's Frank in Oak Park on the Score.
Hub, I want to tap into your deep historical knowledge of the league from following it for, I think, more than 35 years with a pro and a college football question. First, can you think of an NFL team that actually won a playoff game that has as much trouble running the ball as this current Bears squad? I was thinking maybe the 78 Vikings with Fran Tarkington in his last season. But then I looked it up, and they lost to the Rams in the first game they played. In the college realm, I think Northwestern defensive lineman Joe Gaziano led the conference in sacks last year. He's made a number of big plays again in 2018. Does he have the physical tools to be drafted, or is the only way he makes it to Sundays is rookie free agency?
Well, Frank, I got to do a little thinking on the first question. As you were talking, I'm trying to go back. And, you know, historically, if you're in the playoffs, you're not bad at running the football. I mean, you know.
What is the worst running great team?
I'd have to go back and check on that. I do know for something I was writing the other day, I did go back to. I was asking the legitimate question. I wasn't trying to give Nagy a hard time. There is the possibility that you don't need to run the ball as well today with this Kansas City, Philadelphia, Chicago offense as you did in prior years, because so much in the passing game are like running plays. I mean, you know, the jet sweeps are not traditional running plays, but even that, the volume of bubble screens and flat passes and things like that. You know, when Bill Walsh came up with the West Coast offense, it was supposedly an answer to not having to throw to run the ball to throw it, that supposedly you could have a hybrid running game just with these short passes. So it's something we got to dig deeper on. But what I did find was that the four title game competitors last year in New England and Jacksonville and Philly and Minnesota were all in the top 12 running the football, and three of them were in the top seven. And so the really good teams still run the football really well. If there's been a bad one, I'd have to go back and look for you. Gaziano been a bit of a revelation to me. I was so impressed watching him really in that Ohio State game, even though they didn't win it. And then he jumped out at me again a couple weeks ago in the 17-14 game. I'm drawing a blank now on who they beat. Iowa, I'm sorry. And so he is a great college football player. He does not have the triangle numbers that you're looking for to be a high pick, but based on his production, I would think that some team would want to consider, you know, fifth, sixth, seventh round. I don't even know his exact size. I'd have to go and look. He's not going to be a high pick, but I think he's been a good enough football player that he's probably a day three pick.
Trying to think of the 2010 Packers won the Super Bowl and they were 24th.
For whatever reason, I remember the 2006 Colts, the team that beat the Bears, were 18th and 16th in yards per game and average yards per carry. Bottom half of the league there too. I imagine some of those, I don't know, maybe some of those greatest shows on turf.
Falk. Yeah. So they could do it both ways. I'm sure that there have been teams that have not been exceptional running the football, but if you can't run the football and put games away in the fourth quarter, you're going to lose some football games, and so that's against good teams, and that's going to make it tougher on you.
It's Garrett in Lafayette. He's on Sports Radio 670 with Hub.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I have kind of a meatball-y fan question. What about Le'Veon Bell next year to the Bears? Is there even a chance of that? Does it make sense? I don't know what their salary cap is like or what kind of money it would take, but it just, from a fan perspective, would really be pretty interesting in this offense.
Well, I'm not sure how interesting he'd be in this offense. You know, the zone stretch running stuff, he does like to peck and find, you know, but he does not have anywhere near the speed that Matt Nagy likes. And you can throw the ball to, you know, pretty much any running backs. He's been very good at it with the ball in open space. But again, these guys are going to be looking for more, you know, athletes, quickness, speed. I don't think he is the perfect fit. Guy's been one of the two or three best backs in the league the last 4 or 5 years. He's going to look good almost anywhere. But I don't see the Bears making a priority out of that. And by the way, the Bears are not going to have the cap space for it. This is going to be the first time they're going to have some cap space, but not like they have the last few years. And they're going to have to be a lot more selective in free agency. And to make a big move like that, it would limit their ability to do anything else.
My brain is still working on this good team, bad running game thing. Did the 84 Dan Marino Dolphins, I remember they didn't have a single running back have more than like 600 yards or something like that.
That was the post Zonka Kick Morris era.
Yeah, it was like Tony Nathan.
Tony Nathan was Nat Mora receiver.
Running back.
Yeah.
Bill number 89.
Yeah.
They were 16th that year? Okay.
Yeah, there have been teams that have not been great running the football. And you know, guys, again, it's an interesting conversation. We constantly have to remind ourselves The Bears are seventh in the NFL right now in rushing yards.
But it's Trubisky.
Well, it is, but you don't discount those.
I don't.
And so now as we're looking at some of these other teams'
rankings. He can do it in the fourth quarter, too. I mean, there's nothing against him taking off and running for an important fourth quarter first down, right?
Yeah, but if you look back at some of these rankings, you know, how many teams had a couple receivers with some big reverses or a running quarterback? I mean, you look at the Panthers in 15 and Cam Newton with and some of those Russell Wilson teams the year Russell rushed for 800 yards. The Seahawks actually were not a good running team in those couple years between Marshawn Lynch and now. Now they're running it well again, but Wilson gave them their ground game, and they didn't get back to the Super Bowl.
What you mentioned about receivers running the ball, too, we need to have this crop of NFL play-by-play guys in for a special meeting. A handoff to a wide receiver coming around is either an end-around or a sweep.
Mm-hmm.
A reverse is literally when the action of the play reverses.
Mm-hmm.
It is a handoff. It is then another handoff. Every game I watch, these are being misidentified. Either end-around plays or wide receiver sweeps are being misidentified as reverses. When a reverse literally reverses the action of the play. There.
It endeth the lesson.
Good? I'm good. I'm good now. Tim is in Flossmoor, and he's on the score with Hub.
Yeah, good afternoon. How are you all?
Good, Tim.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm concerned with Jordan Howard. I think they're not utilizing him to the best, their ability or whatever. And also the play-action pass play. I think that's one of the best plays in football. And the Bears seem pretty one-dimensional at their running back position now. They seem like they're doing a lot of plays like that, and that's why they're getting stunted.
Well, Tim, I find myself stuck in this kind of strange space this season because I agree. I mean, I think Jordan Howard, forget what I think, the statistics say he's definitely top five, one of the three or four best backs in the league the last couple of years running the football. He had problems catching it, worked his butt off during the offseason, been very good catching it in the limited opportunities we've seen this year. And I battled with John Fox and Dowell Loggins over this the last couple of years because they refused to use the running game as much as they should have. But I'm not going to second guess Matt Nagy. I mean, you look at what he's doing with this offense. You look at how explosive they've come. You look at how exciting they are. And we know that it's not all in. I mean, he's told us it takes two or three years, even the entire game plan. They're not running it all. And I think we've just got to continue as hard as it is to be a little bit more patient and see if he does have a blind spot for it or if it's just the pace at which he's installing this and trying to figure out how to make it work. And I don't honestly know the answer.
And I would say if you want play action passing, your quarterback's got to be under center.
Mm-hmm.
And in a shotgun offense.
Those are read plays.
Right. In a shotgun offense, some of these decisions, and it is a primary shotgun offense, and you're making up for what we always grew up with as play action, turning your back to the play, putting your hand in there, pulling your hand out. That's now way advanced into read option and RPOs.
The puzzle with what he's doing right now is that on the first play of the game last Sunday, Jordan Howard goes for 9 yards. It pops wide open. And then the next four handoffs and seven of the next eight are to Tariq Cohen. And Howard only gets the ball twice in the first half. That's the part I just can't make any sense out of. But I'm impressed enough by Nagy that I'm assuming that there's a plan, and we've just got to be a little bit more patient before we get too excited about this.
More with Hub coming your way. 312-644-6767. You want to jump in with a question or a comment on the Bears and the NFL, all kinds of entertaining football info is right here on Bernstein and McKnight on The Score. The bottom of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. You like goals? So do they. The Chicago Wolves are currently the highest scoring team in the Western Conference. Be there Saturday as the Wolves host Iowa at 7 and Sunday at 3 versus Manitoba at Allstate Arena. Visit ChicagoWolves.com for tickets. We are taking calls. Hub is here. He is resplendent in his Jerry Garcia tie.
Of which there are 118 in the collection, not just 35.
Well, no, I knew there was a lot more in the overall Garcia collection, but I didn't know if the exploding heart, they call this a collection, so I didn't know if there was more exploding
hearts. Could be a sub-collection in the Jerry Garcia. Who's making money off of Jerry Garcia selling ties?
I don't know, man, but they're going for at least up to $45 here.
I'm sure he has an estate.
YourNecktieShop.com.
Wow. Westside Don is welcomed to The Score.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Excuse me.
I I'm sorry. Yeah, I just had a question for you guys. Okay, it's about the quality win thing. Okay, I'm going to use the Detroit Lions. I'm going to try to be quick. They beat Green Bay. They beat New England. But they're a dumpster fire. But those are two quality wins. So now you go to Chicago, and now before the season, they were saying that we had the worst roster at the bottom of the league. And now we're beating teams that they said were better than us, but now they're saying that the teams that we're beating are not worth anything. So, I mean, if you get paid to retract your words, eat your words, then maybe I'm in the wrong business, because it's like how much quality do you put into a quality win? Or is that the proverbial tooth fairy of the NFL or something like that? Is it just put out there for excitement? Like, I don't get it.
You know, Don, it's a very subjective issue. There is some statistical analysis that suggests, though, when you put together out of nowhere a worst to first, a 9-10-11 win season, and you got a bunch of one-score wins over mediocre teams, that's what the Oakland Raiders were 2 years ago. They won 12 games, and I think 11 of them were up by one score. And look what happened in the two seasons since. But when you come from nowhere, and even if you're playing weak teams, but you're destroying them like the Bears are doing, those teams have had significant success against good teams and in the playoffs as well. And that's why Sunday night is going to be so curious, because clearly the Vikings are a step up in class over the last, you know, since you saw the Patriots. And I don't know who's going to win, but I think the Bears are going to play with them. I don't see the Bears. The Bears' talent has been upgraded to the point where they can play with these guys. The difference is that the Vikings have similar, if not slightly better, talent, and they know how to win. They've been doing it for a couple of years. So fascinating test on Sunday. But the answer to your question is that if you're barely beating those mediocre teams, then you really do have to worry a little bit. But when you're as impressive as the Bears are doing it, this is a much improved Bears football team.
Out to Denver, Colorado, and Joel on the score.
Hey, Hub. My question is about Ryan Pace. There's been a lot of criticism early on in his career, but I think we can all come to consensus that he had a really good offseason. And my question has to do with free agency. I'm wondering what the collaboration is with the head coach, mm-hmm. and how much input that head coach has. And if it's a lot, can we blame John Fox for maybe some of the choices made earlier? Thank you.
Until that last part, I was with you. Joel, the way it works with almost every team is that immediately following the season, the front office folks and the coaching staff get together. They reevaluate every tape. They reevaluate every player. And they make up a wish list. And they agree that in order to become a better football team, these are the areas that we have to improve. Then you've got Ryan Pace and Josh Lucas and Champ Kelly and all these people that, you know, that's their scouts and front office folks. They bring all the area scouts in. They go over all the reports and they come up with a target list. They build their board. Then they bring the coaches back in and they ask the coaches to look at all this film. Then you get to the combine. You've got both coaches and scouts there. And then as you start to build towards the draft, it's a collaborative process. And so I would say that a coach's opinion is every bit as valuable as a scout's opinion once he has seen as much film or met some of these players. And then at the end of the day, if there's a disagreement between Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace is going to pull the trigger on which player they take.
Brian in Bolingbrook, you're on the score. Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Fine.
Good.
Yeah. Guys were making a point that Mitch's numbers are where Carson Wentz's numbers were last year. He's better. What if we end up in a Carson Wentz situation with Mitch? We get all the way to the playoffs or close to it. Mitch does one of those runs like a running back, gets hurt. Now we got Trace Daniels in the background. Do we go as far? Can we win a Super Bowl with Trace Daniels? Or should the Bears be looking for somebody on the waiver wire, whatever they need to look for a backup quarterback?
All right. Well, I'm
gonna, love life
yes,
right now.
I'm going to guess that there is no chance whatsoever the Bears can win a Super Bowl with Trace Daniels, because
no, I don't think Trace can
there
do
is
it.
No such
no.
player that I'm aware of.
That's
now,
both names wrong.
If it's Chase Daniel that we want to talk about, he is – well, I'm going to say he's the best Bears backup in a long time, because nobody knew what Josh McCown was. And Josh McCown wasn't Josh McCown for the first 12
McGowan.
Or 13 years yeah,
or
of his
McNown.
Career. But Chase Daniel is very solid in that position. He certainly knows the system. They could run the exact same offense. He had an excellent preseason. I'm not going to say they can win a playoff game, let alone the Super Bowl with him, but I will tell you that I think they're better off with him than anybody they would find on the street right now.
Is it only Bears fans?
No.
Do all cities fans mispronounce their own players' names?
I get this all the time on various shows, and you just get it with a different twang.
Right,
you're in Boston or Houston or wherever you are. But you get it all the time.
Okay.
And there's certain names that you get it with more than others.
Sure.
I don't know why Trubisky lends itself to Trubinsky, but I mean, there are certain names that this happens with.
Trace Daniels. The only other Ashlon Jeffries was one where you could get both names wrong. You get first and last
that was
wrong.
An easy one.
Jeffries was common, but Ashlon was one.
I actually had somebody tweeting at me the other day because in a column I wrote about Bryce Callahan, and the first reference was Bryce Callahan. And then a reference later in the column, the damn autocorrect changed Bryce to Bruce.
Okay.
So I've got somebody tweeting at me. It's not Bruce Callahan. It's Blake Callahan.
Well, sorry.
Yeah, and so I had to tweet back. Well, actually.
In Chicago Heights, here is Calvin on the score.
Yes, I had a question for you, Hub, as far as Tariq Cohen is concerned.
Yes.
I was just wondering, in your opinion, is he like overusing him because he's such a small back? In the last couple of games, he took some really big hits. And I think the last game he had to come out for a little bit. You think he might be overusing him?
Well, he took one huge hit and they got him to the sidelines because of concern. And then suddenly two plays later, he was back in. So he absorbed it very well. You know, I don't think they're overusing him because he's such a unique weapon, and you want to use him as best you can. I'm not sure that they're always using him the best way. When he's getting more carries between the tackles than Jordan Howard, then yes, I worry about that a little bit. But in terms of just the amount of touches that Tariq Cohen is getting, I think they're actually doing a nice job of getting him the ball in different ways, catching passes, running the football, returning punts. I just would like to see more of his running plays be more of the outside, even the jet sweep, or not just the jet sweep, but even some of the RPOs where he can belly outside off the tackle. These straight handoffs between the tackles do concern me a little bit because he's not big enough to take a consistent beating like that.
Vincent Melrose Park, say hi to Hub. You're on the score.
Hello, boys. My question is in regards to the penalties. I know of all the penalties that we've all as fans been complaining about, it seems like the encroachment versus offside versus neutral zone infraction has kind of evolved. At one point, it was just you have to catch a lineman offside as you hike the ball, or a guy has to be lined up in the neutral zone. Mm-hmm. And now it just seems like a defensive back or rather a defensive lineman, if he flinches and makes the offensive lineman flinch, there's a whistle. So I'm just wondering, has that evolved, or is there kind of a gray area now, or what happened with all that?
Well, no, Vince, there actually was a rule change, and I want to say it was 3 years ago, but it was pretty much exactly as you described. It used to be that the only way you were going to get an offsides was if you snapped the ball while that defender was in the neutral zone or across the line of scrimmage, and they changed the rule to make encroachment actually encroachment if a defensive player comes across too soon and causes an offensive player to move. That is now offsides or a neutral zone infraction. So it was a specific rule change. I can't remember if it was 2, 3, or 4 years ago, but in the last few years they did change the rule, and that's why you're seeing more of that.
Hub, thank you, as always. We appreciate it.
Always
we thank
fun,
you for
guys.
Your time. You always make us feel like you look so nice.
Well,
it's
just
when you
because
come in
Thursday's
here.
TV day. I figured if I dress up, people will take me more serious and listen to me when I say, please stop flexing us so much. It's fun. It's fun once in a while. Does anybody really prefer these night games?
I like the noon starts.
I love the noon.
I love noon. I don't mind 3:25, but these night games just screw up everything. Anyway, it's good that the Bears are good enough to be getting them.
There you go. That is Hub Arkish, who joins us a couple of times every week. When we come back, we're going to give away a $100 gift card to Copper Rock Steakhouse at Four Winds Casino, South Bend. That is for you next. I also have a series of statistics that are describing an absolute sports phenom right now. I think you have some numbers, too.
Yeah, a handful of them.
Somebody who is wrecking sports right now.
That plus stuff for you next. Bernstein McKnight, 670 The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
That was the 670 The Score chopper that was up there above Soldier Field watching Cody Parkey.
That's right. Piloted by Jay's Awoski. Mm-hmm. That's who pilots our 670 The Score chopper. Jay's Awoski.
Now we got Trace Daniels in the background.
We're also searching for Trace Daniels.
We got Trace Daniels and we got a Mike McGlinchey.
I would have went with at number 8, McGlinchey from Notre Dame.
Listen, I don't know, Dan, if we're being had this week.
There's no way. There's no way the acting's that good.
I don't know if we're being had. I don't care.
Right. That's the point. Who cares?
I don't care. It has been executed so well all week long. I don't care if I'm being had. I'm willing now. I'm willing. Take me away with your Trace Daniels.
McGlinchey from Notre Dame.
It's incredible. It's just incredible.
It doesn't stop.
Trace Daniels.
Yep. We'll put him into caller 6 to the contest line, 312-591-6700. Wins a $100 gift card to Copper Rock Steakhouse at Four Winds Casino South Bend. Tis the season for holiday parties. Make your reservations now at fourwindscasino.com. No matter whether or not you're a big college basketball fan or not, and judging from Twitter trends, you're not. The performance of Duke's Zion Williamson.
It's getting weird.
We saw the game against Kentucky.
Yes.
And I've watched every highlight of his, of various kinds, over and over and over again. He is roughly the size of J.J. Watt.
Mm-hmm.
He's 6'7", 280.
Watt's about an inch shorter and a couple pounds heavier.
And Zion Williamson's chin is at the rim.
Uh-huh. Easy.
Now, he right now has a PER of 58.5.
That sounds right.
It is the highest among all NCAA freshmen who play 15-plus minutes per game so far. Now, through three games, these are his per 40 stats.
Okay.
So this gives you efficiency and production per minute out to 40 minutes. If he were to play 40 minutes.
Because he played 23 against Kentucky, 32 against Army, and 21 against Eastern Michigan.
Right, he's barely playing. His per 40 stats, 40.6 points, 17.1 rebounds, 4.3 assists, and 4.8 blocks, while shooting a 2-point field goal percentage of 860. And that's not a minute stat. That's a rate stat.
He is shooting 82% from the field. He's gone
that's
one
with
from
threes.
Three. One from three from three. I don't really like your shot all that much. But he's shooting 82%. The guy's breaking things left and right. That Duke team is going to be a marvel to watch all year long. And they're playing defense, which is something. I mean, I listen, there's probably just the Kentucky game that's worth looking at, but Coach K kind of went away from that, his defensive calling card, in the last season or two.
Oh, for a while now.
And this is, he'd had to after going to a zone for a little bit, but this is different, and this team is an absolute wrecking ball.
You know, and speaking of this is a good opportunity to get to a comment that we were listening to before the show, after we haven't really talked about last night's Bulls performance or lack thereof.
Yeah.
And
well, for a quarter and a half, they stayed with it.
The Celtics couldn't hit a shot.
No, they didn't hit any of them.
They couldn't hit a shot. The Celtics missed more layups.
So many layups. That's been a thing. That's been a thing for them all season long.
And open threes.
Yes, I mean, all game. I mean, unguarded threes, uncontested threes and layups. They were missing, and they still win the game by the amount that they did. And Wendell Carter Jr. had some comments that were notable after the game about what the Bulls aren't doing. So listen to him, and Kelly Krull asks the question here, and I think the answer is significant.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.